Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping into the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, and I am your host as well as chief encourager and author. As the number one podcast for women's empowerment in the San Francisco Bay Area, since I love all of my listeners and I want to make sure that you guys don't miss out on this goodness that transpires at this live recording, I now present to you the playback. I hope you enjoy listening along to the wonderful conversation that we had with our special guests, as well as the great questions from the audience. And if you have an equally ambitious friend, be sure to share this with your friends. Share the love. Welcome everyone to the live, now recording, Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. My name is Ayana Angel. I will be your host this evening, as well as I'm the host of the podcast. So, for those who don't know, who will be listening to this on the playback, there's two things that happened. There's one, I almost forgot to hit record, so you wouldn't be listening right now. And the second thing is, we are in San Francisco today, and we are at the Spotify office, so I want to say a big thank you to Spotify for allowing us to come into their space, to utilize their space, for donating their space. I also want to say a huge thank you to Nella from Woodford Reserve for giving you this premium bourbon that we're all sipping on this evening. So, let's ask this question one more time. How many people listen to podcasts regularly? Yay! You guys can only see almost the entire room listens to podcasts, so we're in good company. We know what's up. So, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our special guests this evening. So, we're talking all about side hustles. And actually, real quick, before we introduce the special guests, I want to know how many people have a side hustle currently. Raise your hand high. If you have a side hustle, okay. How many people are looking to start a side hustle? Oh yeah, I love it. So for you guys that are only listening, majority of the people here are looking to start a side hustle. So this is good, we're in good company once again. So today, first up, we have Rochelle Roseman Rinkins. She is the founder of Liquid Courage Cosmetics, as well as a global business leader. Let's welcome Rochelle to the stage. Okay, next up we have Christine Young. She is an e-commerce merchandising manager, and she's also a fashion blogger at Trend NV. Thank you, ladies, for coming. Feel free to have a seat. So like I said, today we're talking all about side hustles, but first, to give people a little context about these ladies and what they sort of have going on day to day, I want you to introduce yourselves and let us know a little bit about your background and your side hustle, or actually tell us about your full-time hustle first, and then we'll get into your side hustle.
Sure. Hey guys, is it on?
Turn it on.
Oops. Hold on, I have another mess up. Hey guys, so I'm Christine. I work full-time at a startup called Creative Live. We specialize in online creative classes, but my background is mainly in e-commerce and merchandising, and so my primary goal is to always drive conversion and sales when someone lands on site. I was at eBay for 3.5 years before that, and I also have my MBA in design strategy that I got from California College of the Arts, and so my full-time gig is like all things e-commerce and really just selling like whatever the company is trying to sell. As my side hustle, I have a blog. It's Trend Envy, so I'm a fashion and lifestyle blog. I actually started it in 2010, but I just recently in the past year really started working on and revamping it. So that's my side hustle and I love it. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming out.
Hello everyone. I'm Rochelle Rankins, and my full-time job, I work in tech as a global supply manager. And so I get to negotiate and broker deals all day with truckers, and you know how exciting that could be. I'm going to call it my passion-based business, is I'm the founder of Liquid Courage Cosmetics, and I worked at Procter & Gamble for 8 years. So Procter & Gamble, number one consumer packaged goods company in the world. I love products. I love getting into, like, if I don't look at products like everyone looks at products. I want to know like what the materials are, et cetera, et cetera. And so I decided to launch Liquid Courage because I felt that, you know, even my own company at the time wasn't talking to women like myself. And so I created Liquid Courage, my passion-based business for women like yourself, that you're on the go, conquering family, life, career, and everything in between.
So since you told us sort of like your background of how did you get into it, Christine, tell us a little bit about how you decided to venture into blogging and fashion blogging specifically.
So I actually started blogging when I was actually still living at home with my parents in the suburbs, and to be honest, there's not that much to do there. And I was, you know, I have a shopping problem, like, let's be real. And I was like, I have all these clothes, but like, I want people to see them, and my friends were always telling me too that, like, they really like my style, and I would always look at other people's fashion blogs, and I've always been really into tech and just, like, websites and stuff, and so I just decided to launch it, and I got really positive feedback when I started blogging, and I think one of the beauties of starting earlier, too, was that there weren't that many bloggers back then, and so I actually would talk and connect to all these other bloggers, and I just noticed that there was a really positive community and network, and it was a great way for me to just do, like, a side hobby that, you know, I was really passionate about, and, like, you know, honestly made use of all the things that was mine.
So because you ladies both have full-time jobs, do you find that it's difficult to prioritize with your side hustle or your passion project? And if so, how do you make time and how do you prioritize?
You know, that's a great question. And I was just reading this article from Damon John, FUBU King, and he's on the Shark Tank. And I think a lot of people have a misconception that, you know, and if you have the resources and the investments, go ahead, you know, go do that. But he talked about how he worked at Red Lobster while actually working FUBU, which, you know, grossed billions of dollars. And so the reality is my full-time job pays my bills right now. And that is my number one priority. And so when there's ever a choice between doing work for, you know, my full-time job and doing work for Liquid Courage, my full-time job wins. Because I think of my full-time job as my angel investor. And if the angel investor is not happy, then there's problems. So that's my approach. But like today, I had to take a half day because I live in the South Bay and we all know about traffic. But I plan on, you know, going back home and working late night. That's just kind of like the dance that you have to do when you're really balancing between a full-time job and your passion-based business. And it's gonna ebb and flow, right? You know what your peak times are gonna be at your full-time job, and you know what the peak times are going to be for your passion-based business. And the key is to kind of balance those two things.
I think for me, it's actually not problematic because I've just been really good at time management. And so, like, during the weekends, I'll actually take all of my blog pictures. I do them a lot, like, when I'm out for social events, or sometimes when I'm just bored, I'll ask my boyfriend if we can just go outside real quick and just snap some pictures. And I actually created an editorial calendar. So throughout the week, I'll post them. And so, you know, I work full-time from, like, 9 to 6, and then I'll come home and then usually, like, you know, figure out all the content. So I'll, like, prepare all of it and then post it and then just post them out, like, throughout the week and make sure I do it with a consistent schedule so that even though on my Instagram, it might look like I'm, you know, out every day, like, taking these vlog pictures, like, in reality, I'm taking them all over the weekends and when I travel, and then I just post them out throughout the week.
That touches on something that I want to find out from you ladies. Are there any, like, apps or programs or anything that you use to sort of help you manage things better or make things go smoother or quicker or more efficient?
Yes, and I'm so glad that you, Christine, you actually talked about that, because that's your number one key is staying organized, right? And so my go-to resource right now is Calendly. Jot down the number of hours it takes you just to schedule meetings. Just a week, just jot it down in your notebook. It literally was taking me like hours a week just to schedule meetings, because what happens? Well, I was available on this day, now I had a schedule change. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get your email. I mean, Raise your hand if you've had this problem. Okay. So I literally save hours with Calendly, which allows you to have a unique link. All of my call-in credentials are already included in there. And so when I send out my link, I have multiple days. I start on, you know, the weekend, and I fill out my calendar for the rest of the week. And it allows the user, on the other hand, to pick and choose the date that's, you know, best suits them. They have a positive user experience, and I get 10 plus hours back into my week. So that is my go-to resource right now.
So for me, I actually just use Google Docs. Like, I am an Excel, like, wizard. I can create whatever I want. I love the flexibility of it. And so I actually just use, like, my own spreadsheets, and I've created, like, my own editorial calendar that I use. And so I should probably look at other tools out there just because I know there's a lot of great ones. But then for me personally, like, Google Docs has been working well for me, so that's what I use.
That makes sense. I'm just going to chime in and tell you guys one thing that I love. I know many of us are Instagrammers, and I really like using this app, UNUM, and that helps you to just see how you can map what your grid of your feed would look like. I use that to allow myself to see what I want to have coming up next, and then I just go ahead and save the post sometimes in the actual Instagram app with the caption and everything. That way, when I'm ready to post, I don't, like you said, it may seem like, you know, people are always posting and they're always out and about living this glorious life, but in reality, most of it is planned, and most of it is planned ahead of time, and, you know, just to give people, like, some ease of doing things. One thing that because you touched on, Rochelle, you touched on your full-time job being, you know, sort of like your angel investor. And I can remember back when I worked 9-to-5, I was the bad person. I was the person that the employers probably hated because I wasn't you. I was the person at my computer like, there's not that much going on today. I'm going to get a little side work done, you know, because at the time I had a jewelry business. And I'd be researching things, I'd be listening to podcasts, now let me say this though, it is okay to listen to a podcast at work with your headphones on, or at least one, okay? Because you can listen to this one, okay? Yes, please. And that's truly, that is the idea too. I know that a lot of my listeners, you know, have busy lives where they're doing multiple things, so the idea is to create something that you can participate in or listen to while you're on the go or while you're multitasking. But I know I used to be that worker, if you will, that didn't so much value the employer's time. So I want you ladies to tell us a little bit about your respective companies. Do they actually know that you have a side hustle? And if they don't know, is there a reason that they don't know you have a side hustle?
So my company actually does, but it's funny because I, like, never tried to put it on blast. But then, I mean, if anyone follows me on social media, like, even if you were to Google me, like, it's going to come up. And so it was funny because when I first started, like, my VP of HR and, like, a bunch of my coworkers would be liking my stuff, like, commenting on it, and I'd be like, oh, no. Like, I was kind of embarrassed at first. But then at the end of the day, it's like, no, like, I love it. Like, I want the support. And I like that they know because it's, like, nothing to hide. And they're so supportive. They're so encouraging, and I think they know that I do a really good job of, you know, keep, like, when I'm at work, I'm focused, and then after hours is when I'll do my side hustle. So yeah, I mean, I like that my coworkers know, and it hasn't been, like, a problem at all for me.
Well, it's easy for me because I work with a whole bunch of white men in tech, so they don't want to talk about lipstick anymore. But the company that I work for, it's a need to know type of culture, and I kind of pass that on through my personal as well as my passion-based business. I haven't found a need to share it with my group members because of obvious reasons, but I think that the company that I work for full-time celebrates people actually doing things outside of work from high levels within the organization, like one of the vice presidents. She's an opera singer. And so I think that it's just really encouraged to do your thing, because if you're happy outside of work, you'll be happy inside of work.
That makes sense. And I'll add too that I remember, so for those who don't know, I come from a PR background. I used to do sports PR in New York. I used to work at the National Basketball Association. And I'm only telling you this story because I want you ladies to be aware when it comes to side hustles. it's great, it's good and everything, but you should secretly find out how your company feels about you working on side projects, what the expectations are, and what the sort of parameters are. Because I remember there was a time where we all got these contracts that we were asked to sign, and it was everything about any type of work that you did outside of the company. And they pretty much had you sign in to say that if you had something you were doing on the side, you would notify them about it. And if you had something that blew up and you made tons of money, they were entitled to a portion. And at the time, like I said, I had a jewelry business, and I was like, what? No, because my jewelry business is doing really well. Like, Beyonce wore our jewelry. It was in Vogue magazine, Italian Vogue. Like, it was like, it had all these really good PR placements, and things were moving, and I just had this anxiety because I was like, does this mean that the NBA wants to take part of my jewelry company? Like, what? But what ended up happening was that particular document came, an amended version of that document came back around again, but this time we were not required to sign. So I think that someone might have made a stink about it and said, hey, this is not right. I don't feel right about this. I'm not signing this. And then it became a thing of almost like a notice. So we're just telling you, like, this is our policy, and now you know we've made you aware of it. So if I were you ladies, I would definitely look into and figure out if there's something that's already in place about, you know, side hustles and what you're doing inside. So for you ladies, what was your first big win with your side hustle? Let me change that. It doesn't have to be a big win in the sense that we would all be super impressed by it. It just has to be a win to you in the sense that it made you keep going. It made you feel like this is worth it. I'm on the right track. I'm doing the right thing. I feel good about it.
Well, there's a lot of low moments. And
let's talk about that.
There's a lot of them. So when you get a high, you have to celebrate. So I actually appreciate the question. So I'm going to give you two. The first one, a mentor of mine, Rochelle Parham, who is the previous chief marketing officer of eBay. I met her at a blogging conference, and she had an opportunity to be featured in Marie Claire magazine. They have this mobile maintenance section. And guess what? She shouted Liquid Courage out. And awesome. So without having to pay, I mean, you come from this in this domain, right? Without having to pay thousands of dollars for a mention in Marie Claire magazine, little old Liquid Courage was in that magazine, and that was a very high moment. And it was like totally, she said, I don't know when it's coming out, so you know what, I was in Barnes & Noble every single day. Joe, my husband, crazy, and one random evening, leaving from a restaurant, I'm like, I'm just popping it, you know, and it was in there. I broke down, started shouting, praising God, and that was like a high moment. The second moment I would talk about, because it took so much time, was with Ipsy. Are you guys aware of Ipsy? It's basically, they compete with Birchbox, and they're a beauty subscription company actually based here. And I mean, it took literally 3 years to forge a deal with them. And that's one of the great things that I would say, Ayanna, about having a full-time job, because I find myself not being as desperate. Because when you know that there's a bad deal, you know it's a bad deal. And when you don't have anything else coming in, I see a lot of entrepreneurs lean in and move forward with those deals, knowing that it could be at the sacrifice of their business. And so I kept saying no to Ipsy until we figured it out. And so Liquid Courage was actually offered, not in the box, but they had these Ipsy offers. And so I curated a duo with lipsticks, and that was featured, and we sold out in 3 days. Which is like unheard of, because I'm a new brand. No one really knows about Liquid Courage. And now they're launching an app next month, and Liquid Courage will be in that app along with these other major brands, you know, L'Oreal, Revlon, et cetera. So
congrats. Well, I don't have a story like that. I can tell you about my highs. So I think for me, like, it actually came in phases. So right now I have about like 7,000 followers. I would consider myself like, I would say a microblogger. And I think for me, like, it started hitting me when I would start getting more like people that wanted to work with me, people who were inviting me to events and sending me free stuff. The most recent event that I went to was actually hosted by a winery in Sonoma, BR Cone, and they just literally just wanted my company with like 9 other really reputable Bay Area fashion bloggers, and it was my first time going to like an event hosted specifically for a fashion blogger, and I kind of got, I like was able to see like how it really felt, and like now I understand why fashion bloggers quit their full-time jobs. Like, we literally got wined and dined for free, like, the entire day. Like, they offered to pick us up in San Francisco, took us to a shuttle bus to the winery once we got there. They gave us champagne, unlimited free oysters. We got free, and it goes on. We got like, free wine tastings with, like, food pairings, and then we got free catered food from Girl in the Fig. And then afterwards, they gave us a free goodie bag with, like, different wines, olive oil, just all these goodies, and I went home and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I literally got wined and dined for free, like, all day, like, this is life. And then I think, like, even after that, I get, like, a lot of emails from, like, you know, brands and companies that want to work with me and send me free stuff. And I think for me, like, when I started saying no, I realized, like, yeah, I'm starting to actually become something because I built a brand. It's important for me to stay true to that brand. When I first started blogging, like, I would just be so excited that anyone would want to work with me. I would kind of always say yes all the time. But then now, you know, I think when I started saying no, and then most recently, like, companies have actually been willing to pay me money to post now too, I was like, wow, like, it's, you know, I'm excited to see how it's going to keep going on from there. But I think for me, like, it's definitely coming in phases, and there's been different little highs that have made me realize that it's worth the payoff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Amazing for both of you ladies. It's like, it's a good feeling when your work is being recognized and acknowledged and you can feel good about it as well. And Rochelle, you touched on something that I want to get into a little bit more about, there definitely being lows amongst the highs. So when you guys have your challenging days when things are looking a little bit gloomy, especially here in the city, and you're just kind of like, what the hell am I doing? What do you do to sort of keep yourself going? What are some of the things that you might do?
So one of my mentors that I talked about earlier, she has this concept of, and this is not new, having a board of advisors. And you're going to have, like, different people within your board of advisors. You know you have that cheerleader in your crew. No matter what you say, hey, I'm going to the moon, and she's like, yes, let's go. I mean, you know, what do you want to pack? Like, you know you have those people, right? And you have, like, that person in the crew, you can have, like, and they don't mean anything bad by it, but they just negative Nancy. You know, whatever you throw at them, they're just going to find that negative thing. When I'm having, see, you guys are laughing. Y'all know these people, they are in your lives, right? When I'm having a bad day, I go to my cheerleader section because I want to get hyped. I want someone, I call them my energy givers. You know the people that just give you energy whenever you're around them. Now, not to discredit the negative Nancy, that person is very important, right? Because when I have an idea, when I have an idea that I'm really trying to pressure test and think about everything that could possibly go wrong, I go to them. That's a good one. That's good. I go to them because they will tell you everything that's going wrong, because now these are the same things that investors, other your customers can also bring up, right? And so now you've really thought about it 360 degrees, and you can start to, you know, solution against that. But both people are important. So I go to the energy givers, my cheerleaders, when I need that pick-me-up, and I go to the negative Nancy's when I really need, you know, someone to give me the truth, the details and things that I need to take a double click on.
I, like, totally relate to you in that aspect, and so It's funny because I have, like, instead of me calling them my cheerleaders, I call them my good vibes crew, and they're actually here right now. So they're usually, like, the first people that I'll go to when I have my lows, just because I want that emotional support, and they're just always 100% on my side. But, you know, sometimes people are busy, and you have to find your own inspiration and your own motivation. So I watch a lot of TED Talks. I watch a lot of podcasts. If I have some extra time or I don't want to watch the TV, I'll read a lot of, like, self-help motivational books. Like, it's kind of funny when you go to the bookstore and you're in the self-help section, and it's like, you know, it's a little depressing, but at the end of the day, it's like, no, girl, like, I'm trying to do something. I need to have energy. And I'm like, you need this too. Like, I need to have this book. But, yeah, I mean, I love, like, reading things, like, articles, like, talking to people. And, I mean, it's really good to be able to know that you have things that you can do. And I think, like, if, you know, friends are unavailable, like, then, yeah, you need to find your own source of inspiration by listening to podcasts like this one.
There you go. All right. Switch Paper Quick Podcast. Make sure you're subscribed, you're downloading, all of that. So you mentioned books, Chrissy. Do you have a book that you would recommend to everyone that sort of was like your go-to book for just feel-good vibes, good information, anything of that nature?
So I read a lot of different books. I think one that's really good specifically for females is Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. I mean, it's a pretty old one, but then, I mean, it's just so relatable because it caters to females, especially females who are very career-driven, and it's coming from someone that, you know, is coming from a very sincere place. And she provides a lot of really good examples and storytelling in the book, and so it's an easy read too. So that's one that I always recommend to, like, you know, all of my female friends.
Rochelle, do you have a book that you would recommend?
So, the names are escaping me right now, but the authors you can look up. So Carla Harris, she is at Morgan Stanley, I believe, and she is so awesome. And I think that she exudes side hustle plus balancing a 9-to-5. I mean, how do you keep it together in an investment banking environment and still do your own thing speaking? So all the books that she's written are all good, so pick that up. And then, I'm not sure if you guys heard of her, but her name is Melinda Emerson. She's called the Small Biz Lady, and she has this book, 12 Months to, I don't know the full title, but she basically gives you a play-by-play on if you are considering leaving your full-time job, here are some of the things that you should be thinking about, and I read that. There's exercises, you know, we love exercising, doodling, and things like that. So that'll be another author plus book that I would recommend.
And so for those who don't know and are not exactly familiar with the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast, we actually do monthly book chats, or I do. So I read a book every month and then come on the podcast and talk to you guys about it. And I usually do like my five faves from the book. So right now, it's like a two-parter between last month and this month, and the book is The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, and I'm about halfway through it, and it's a two-parter because that book is thick, okay? And I was like, okay, with everything else going on in life, I'm not even going to play myself and pretend like I'm going to make it through this entire book, okay, in 1 month. I'm just not. So the second part is coming up actually in next week's podcast, and that's a good book if you are looking to maybe do some type of online side hustle, something like that, something with systems. He also gives a lot of how-to. He gives a lot of websites that could be good resources. He goes into detail about different things like drop shipping and all of these other things that could be effortless when it comes to having a side hustle. And obviously the premise of this book is the whole like 4-hour work week, so to cut down and not actually even have a full-time job. But at the same time, I think if you're someone who wants to incorporate doing both, this could be a win-win for you because it could free up some extra time and just show you how to create some systems in your life. So I'd say definitely check that one out. For you ladies, what would you say, what advice would you give to someone that is thinking of starting a side hustle? Maybe advice from the perspective of where you started, when you started your side hustle, or just anything that maybe you've learned along the way that you're like, I wish I would have known this when I first got started.
Okay, I have a couple of things. The first one, please, 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 you guys are brilliant. I could just feel the brilliance in the room. And nothing hurts more than when you put yourself out there on the internets and someone steals your stuff, steals your idea. And I was very lucky. I launched Liquid Courage. I did not trademark Liquid Courage. And it wasn't until like 8 months later I had the money to actually pay an attorney to trademark Liquid Courage. And guess what? Someone had the name. And so basically, they were like 8 months or 12 months from the trademark expiring. So I continued and prayed a lot with a lot of meditation. And then the person did not renew. And that's the only reason why I have the Liquid Courage trademark now, because I thought, okay, lipsticks, fine, no, you can apparel. All of these different things that you may not think about, when you think about Turi Burch and things like that, they have a category, a lineup of different items that fall within that brand. So that's number one. Trademark, copyright, make sure you protect your ideas. The second thing that I would say is, make sure that I would encourage you to have a small group of people, you know, especially your target audience, to really pressure test your concept, your idea, because then you get some early feedback. I don't know about you guys, whenever I mean, I get them to buy a product, but if I ask people for their opinion about something, I have like 100-something comments around, oh, I like this, I don't like that. Take advantage of that. Why spend all the money on creating something that you know that people are going to hate? So take advantage, make sure that you get early customer feedback early on in the process. The third thing I would say is build your community. I mean, I just left the meeting, and the first thing, you know, this brand, a major retailer, beauty retailer, you want to make sure that you have a cult-like following. And it is hard. I mean, just think about all the different ads, all the different Instagram, Facebook accounts, and you are basically trying to, you know, compete and get that person to want to like your page, follow your page. And it needs to be authentic. There's a lot of tools out there, but we know the fake ones from the real ones. I encourage you to really, really build your community, find your tribe, get to know him or her really, really well, know what makes them tick, what they like, what's her name, what's her average, you know, income, all of these different things. Spend the time to really get to know your customer.
One advice that I would give is just always be true and authentic to yourself. I think, you know, it's really hard, like, when you first start off fashion blogging, you get a lot of inspiration from following all these other bloggers, and you might want to be like them, you might want to, you know, copy their style, which is great, that's the purpose of it, but I think, you know, when you start off blogging, it's really important that you build your own sense of style, and that you stay true to yourself, and that you're authentic. I remember when I first started, I was kind of just playing around, and I was just, you know, always just trying on different things and just posting whatever content I had, because I didn't have that much content to begin with. But I noticed that I really started getting more traction when I became really true to my brand, and I only started buying stuff that I myself, you know, really liked. I stopped, you know, looking at all the other noise and trying to be like them too. I just stayed true to myself, and so I would say that over the years, my style has definitely evolved to become more bohemian chic, and that's really, you know, really apparent when you go on my Instagram too, and those are the type of brands that are now contacting me, which are also the ones that I also want to work with. And so, you know, there's so much noise out there, and I would just say, like, don't get distracted by all the other bloggers out there just because they have, like, 50,000, 100,000 followers. It's important that you, you know, build your authenticity and you stay genuine to yourself. I think one thing that I wish I had done better when I first started was, I think social media makes it really easy to be a narcissist because you're, you know, it's all you. You know, you're posting about yourself, like, you are, you know, you're just, it's all about you. And I think it's really important to not be a narcissist, even though it may appear like that on anyone's feed. and to not be like one is you know, actually like engaging with, you know, your following, you know. I think I used to get like a lot of comments, and I, like, to be honest, like, I was pretty bad at commenting back on them because I was like, I don't got time for this. But, you know, I started losing followers, and then I was like, and then I, you know, I wanted to see, like, oh, who are these people who are following me? And so when I actually started engaging with them, you know, they would engage back with me, and I started building a relationship with them. And so I think it's so important that you actually reach out to your customer, your target demographic, like, go out there, talk to them, meet these people who support you, who admire you, because at the end of the day, like, these are the people that you want to be inspiring. And it just comes full circle in terms of what Rochelle was saying too, and building a community.
Do you ladies have any words of advice in terms of building your personal brand? Because you straddle the fence and you're sort of in both worlds. You're in this corporate world, you're in this independent world as well. Any advice for people that are, you know, trying to think about building their own personal brand?
Figure out who that, like, I actually have always heard this before, and I never, when I first heard it, I was like, what? Like, I didn't really get it, but when I actually started doing it, it made a lot of sense. But you should think of one person, like, one person that you want to attract, and then build, like, that character, and then whenever you're about to post something, whenever you have something, think, does it match what this person would identify with? And so let's just call her Allison. And so in my head, like, I have this girl named Allison who's maybe in her early 20s, who's really into fashion, may not have a lot of money, but they're really interested in it, and they like to be outdoors, they like summer wear. And so I built this character in my head of who my ideal target person is, which is actually just one person, but in reality, like, so many other people are relating to Allison that it makes it easier for me, because I just have to think about this one girl, and in effect, there's actually a lot of people who are like her. And so I think it's important to figure out that one person, and to always go back to, with this, you know, if people want to work with me, and it's, let's say it's something like, you know, a juice cleanse, because sometimes that has happened. I'm like, would Allison want to be on a juice cleanse? Probably not. Like, my girl likes to eat, you know? And so I'm not going to post that, you know? So it's just important to think about that.
To be honest, Ayana, I don't really see the difference between personal or company brand. A brand is a brand, and that's the way that I think about it. One of the things that I learned very young in my career at P&G, and they do marketing really well, and they have this theme of first moment of truth, second moment of truth. The first moment of truth is when that customer, when she goes and she sees your product on the shelf, like, what do they think about it? Personal brand, when you're out at events, at your job, at whatever, what do people see? It's no different. What's your first moment of truth when people see you? So if you're super stylish on the gram and they see you at Safeway looking a hot mess, those brands don't align, right? And so that's why I hide and put on my sweatsuit and know that no one's going to be there. But no, like, seriously, what's your first moment of truth? The second moment of truth is when people actually experience the product, right? So when people then, they get past whatever you have from an exterior perspective, and they actually talk to you, does your brand line up with what you show? If you're all, you guys see these memes like, you know, extrovert online but quiet and shy, like, what? Are these two people the same? Like, you are like super feisty online and you have all these great things to say. I've run across it a lot. Like, I feel like I'm meeting this, you know, like, person, and I'm like, you are totally different when I actually meet you. Like, the second moment of truth doesn't align with what you're projecting from an online perspective versus when I actually get to interact with you. So a brand is a brand, whether it's, you know, a physical product or service or your personal brand, is how I think about it.
So when we were talking about when Nella was speaking to us about the Woodford Reserve, and we know how men are viewed in different spaces, especially professional and everything. And a lot of times, especially men that drink like bourbon and stuff, it's like they're viewed as powerful. They're viewed as very direct, and like they know exactly what they want and what they expect out of life. And sometimes I feel like women, we shy away from being, at moments, we shy away from being very concise and direct about what we want, where we want to go, what we want to do. Can you tell us about maybe like what time frame you sort of figured out for yourself, like, this is where I'm going, this is what I want to do? Because a lot of times it takes people different, you know, time frames to figure out sort of like their direction, their path, their passion. And if you haven't figured it out yet, that's fine too. I'll tell you guys about myself, okay? So obviously I figured out this is my thing. This is my zhuzh here, okay? Talking is my thing. So for me, when I worked in PR, I was used to being behind the scenes. And I sort of fell into that by default because I had this internship. It was in PR, and I was like, oh, I like PR. I can do this. This is cool. You're talking to people. You're writing. I was a writer. That worked for me. I did that for a number of years in LA and then went to New York and did it. And there just came a point, though, where I was like, this is not really fun anymore. I'm over this. There wasn't enough appreciation for the things that you did and sometimes how you went out of your way to do things. And I just felt like as a person, I was meant for bigger things and I needed to be able to use my voice and I needed to be able to express myself, and there wasn't enough creativity in what I was allowed to do, if you will. So I started venturing out, and that's when I went into my side hustle. And from there, I really realized that PR was not it. That was not going to be my end. Because I enjoyed the side hustle so much, I would stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning to turn around and get back up again to have a full day at work. And I'd do it back to back sometimes if there were deadlines. So at that point, I realized I needed to get out of PR, but I just didn't know how I was going to get out. You know, so I would rack my brain thinking of what was next for me. What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? And that was 3 years ago when I left my full-time job. And to be honest with you, I don't recommend that anyone leaves the way that I left. I left on absolutely good terms, but I told them I didn't know what I was going to do. In all actuality, I had a book written and I knew that I was going to get it traditionally published, and that was my goal. I did not have a publishing deal when I left, but I got one about 4 months later, so praise God, that was great. And that actually worked out in my favor, but I was also very, very clear on what I wanted to come from that situation. But the reason I say I don't recommend people do it the way that I did is because outside of being a writer, I had no larger plan. I didn't know what else I wanted to tack onto that. So it's been a journey for me. I moved to London, lived there for a while, explored, had some adventures. I have done all kinds of things. I have done all types of creative projects. But ultimately landing in this podcasting space with Switch, Pivot, or Quit, I knew that this was the audience I needed to speak to. This was something that I needed to speak on, because when I was feeling like I needed to switch, pivot, or quit, and I had no concept of that name at that point, I felt a little like lost. I felt like my friends weren't in the same space as me. I felt like they got tired of me talking about what's next. And so I knew that there probably had to be women experiencing the same thing where, you know, you don't know, but you want to talk about it. You know, you want to talk about the article that you read, and you want to talk about the things that you're discovering, and you're like, but they don't want to talk about this with me. So who can I talk to? You know, so that's why I wanted to really take on this switch, pivot, or quit idea and make it a thing and a home for people, because I know what it felt like to not really know where I was going next. And so I went through a process of like exploration to figure out that this is my thing now. So that's what I want to know from you ladies. Like, did you go through a process to figure out like what your thing is, or are you still trying to figure it out, maybe even?
You know, the great thing about life, you can actually have multiple things. And I think that, you know, if I'm blessed to be a mother, I'm going to hunt down their teachers, and I don't want them asking, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because I think it starts there, because I think it says you can only be one thing. And I've had some great examples of women rocking in different industries, different domains, and I think that that's where I'm at right now. I'm on this journey. The great thing is, you know, while I worked at P&G, like yourself, I was the behind the scenes person, right? Because I worked in operations, supply chain, you're not really up front. You know, it's just that kind of role. I actually started Liquid Courage with a celebrity makeup artist. And I was actually doing the operations, and she was the face of the brand. Little known fact.
Wow.
And 6-8 months got into it, I was doing all the work. And I was like, but I started to fall in love with these customers because I would be getting the emails, I would be doing the work in terms of posting the social media. And so that was kind of like my journey into having this Liquid Courage, you know, company. I never envisioned that I would be the face of the brand. Like, I was just telling someone, I just put an About Me on my website literally like 8 months ago. Because, you know, I didn't want people to, that's just me, I'm a behind the scenes person. I didn't want people to feel like, which I get all the time, oh, she's a black woman, that means that she's only targeting black women. Where you have men running, you know, feminine care companies and groups and beauty companies, and a man is the CEO of Sephora, a man is the CEO of L'Oreal, but they don't get the same type of bias. So I would say that my journey was through really engagement and like really interacting with the customers is how I got to Liquid Courage.
Yeah, so when I first graduated college, I had so many different internships, so many different jobs. I was trying to figure out what my career should be in. And I actually graduated with an interior architecture major, and I thought I loved that. And so I did it for like the first 3 years, and I just realized like I just did not like it. And I think I thought I liked it because in college you're working on all these creative projects and you get to design whatever you want. And so I knew I love being creative, but I think in reality, like when I actually started working, I realized it wasn't for me. And it's not because I wasn't good at it, but it's because I realized I wasn't doing anything extra to become even better at it. So an example, when you're an architect, it's really important for you to get LEED certified. And so people would tell me to do that. And I'd be like, I probably should, but meh, like, I don't want to. And so when I realized that, I was thinking, and I was like, there's a problem. Like, I don't love it enough if I'm not willing to go that extra step to become even better at this. And so, you know, I literally worked like probably 10 different internships and job positions. And it wasn't until I worked at eBay that I realized this is my thing. I've always been I've always loved retail. I've always loved commerce. I think I intentionally tried to stay away from it because I knew I shopped a lot, and I was like, the last thing I need is a job that has to do with shopping. But once I started working there, I was so good at it. I picked everything up so quickly. People would always tell me that I made it look really easy, and then I realized I make it look easy because I'm really good at it and I really enjoy it. And so during my time at eBay, I started off as a merchandising and coordinator specialist, and I worked my way all the way up to become a merchandising program manager for their deals and sales and events team. And I realized that I was able to get there because I was always willing to go the extra mile. I was always willing to work extra hours. I was always on my free time. I was reading articles, seeing what other e-commerce companies were doing, like Amazon and Target. And so I think because I realized like I had this passion that, you know, I was able to do well there. And so I think for my advice to others is to, even if you do a bunch of different things, just think about like, what is that one thing that you're always willing to go the extra mile for, that you're willing to you're willing to get lack of sleep for, and that's probably your thing.
I like to talk about personal development as well as professional development, because I'm of the thought process where if you don't work on yourself first, it's hard to sort of understand and know what's next and what's out there for you in terms of your career. You have to sort of figure out what's going on with you internally. So do you ladies have any tips for things that you might have done to develop yourself personally, or things that you continuously do?
I think for me, it's important to have a mentor. And so, you know, it's actually hard to get a mentor because it's kind of weird. You can't just go up to someone and be like, hey, do you want to be my mentor? You know, but I think I was fortunate that I built really good relationships in my previous careers, that I've organically built mentors. And, you know, even though I don't work there anymore, I still talk to a lot of my, you know, old coworkers there who have so, like, years beyond more experience than me. So, like, having a mentor is definitely, like, an important thing. And, you know, even if you're not actively looking for one, I think you should, you know, think about having one and hopefully organically try to build one.
Like you, I'm all about personal and professional development. The first thing, because I remember you talking about you felt kind of alone because all of, I mean, most of your friends were in PR and you didn't really feel like you could talk to them about that, your new type of venture. I would encourage people to find your tribe wherever, you know, you land. Catherine, who's here, we started a mastermind group for beauty, indie beauty companies that were in the Bay Area. We just did this on our own, and then we, you know, she told me about an association. So I get a lot of information just joining that association. From a self-development standpoint, a lot of, especially in the Black community, we don't like to talk about therapy, but I hired a therapist. I think that mental health is just as important as physical health. And don't let resources be the reason. Oh, I don't have money for that. There's apps. My friend just forwarded me something where she's having a whole conversation with a therapist using an app. And this therapist is giving her some really good advice. So there's a lot of like great resources out there. And so I believe that everyone should have a therapist. Nothing has to be wrong. It's just great to have an unbiased opinion about approaching things. The last thing that I would say is you know, because you're in e-commerce, these social media platforms are changing their algorithms all the time. And so you have to keep up to speed if you're not hiring someone to do it for you on what the new trends are. And so I'm always investing in different trainings. There's a lot, especially because we're in Silicon Valley. Facebook has all these trainings that you can go to for free. And so I would encourage you, you know, once a month or once a quarter to find that training to get more information about what's going on. So those are the three things I would say.
Okay, so we're gonna wrap that up there and we're gonna open it up to questions. Does anyone have any questions?
How did you learn which steps you need to take in order to make your side hustle happen? Like, I'm sure starting off, you didn't just
you just got to do the work. It's also like my company, they are doing, like, they're rolling out this new learning and development, and they paid all these people all this money, and I could have given them this for free. But it says that 90% of like what you pick up and learn is actually from on-the-job training, meaning you're actually doing the work. And then like 5% comes from watching leaders or experts in your industry, and then another 5% trainings and things like that. So I think that for me, it actually came into doing the work. That doesn't excuse the fact that, yes, I followed some of these, you know, high-profile cosmetics companies. One of the advantages that I've had is that I do come from a supply chain sourcing background. So I knew a lot of the players in terms of contract manufacturers in the space, so that was definitely a positive. But I would just say start doing the work. Do your research in terms, you know, who the top key players are in those industries, and see what they do, create a business model, and then execute. One of the things that I want to leave with you is, and I love this quote, done is better than perfect. Sometimes we will ideate, I mean, what they say, analysis, paralysis, I mean, just spinning our wheels back and forth, and someone else just got your idea, and now they've got a million followers while you're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
So I would say really, you know, look at what folks are doing, but I mean, done is better than perfect. Do the work.
Yeah, like I would echo what she said. Like for me, I would just do a lot of research and I would just do everything myself. Like I didn't know how to make a website. Well, I figured out how to do it. I did a lot of Googling, you know, watched YouTube videos and just figured out myself. And I did a lot of research too to make sure that my decisions were the right decisions. And so, you know, back when I first started blogging, Tumblr and Blogspot were the two main hosting sites that everyone used. But I did enough research to know that what I wanted, Blogspot would be more suitable for, and so I started off with that. But, like, I didn't stop doing research, and so, you know, now WordPress is, like, the new hosting site. And, you know, it's a lot of work transitioning all your content and figuring out how to use a whole different, you know, tool and internal tool, but you know, I did my research to know like now WordPress is better, so I took the time to figure out how to do it. You know, read a lot of articles, like a lot of trial and error. Just you know, just got to try and just do it yourself.
This is like a hack in terms of efficiency. I have learned to really use like resources out there, and you know, websites like Fiverr, where you know $5 to whatever. And my husband basically outsource his whole website for like $60 and it looks great.
What's the website?
Fiverr.com?
Yeah.
FIVERR.com. There's a little bit of everything on there.
Everything.
Yeah.
Upwork is something
yes.
that I am actually playing around now.
Sure.
Content is king. Videos are queen is what I say. And so, like, I'm basically working with a blogger on Upwork, and she's, you know, helping me curate some content. So if you are not lucky like Miss Christine over here, find what other resources are out there and get the right help. You don't have to do everything. There's definitely a lot of resources out there.
So my first question is, like, both of you all, your side hustles are not completely unique. Like the idea isn't something that's completely brand new. So how did you work to, like, kind of make yourself stand out and like kind of separate yourself and really say like, hey, you should visit my blog for whatever reason, or even like you should be using my lipstick for whatever reason. And then also, how did you build your followings?
I think for me, I built my following by finding other similar bloggers that share that same one target audience as me. And I would just actively engage with them and, you know, comment on their stuff, like, you know, just talk to them. And I think I differentiated myself by just staying, like what I was saying earlier, just staying true to myself and being, like, authentic and genuine, like, to myself. And even though, you know, I built my following by making friends with other, you know, like Asian Bay Area bloggers or whatever. Like, you know, just because they're wearing something, I'm not gonna wear the same thing. Like, I'm still gonna stick true to myself and do what I wanna do. And at the end of the day, you know, like, there's gonna be haters out there, people who don't like what you're doing, but, you know, those aren't the people that you want to be following you anyways. And so, good, you know, let them hate and bye-bye, you know, like, just stay true to yourself and you'll attract the right crowd.
The one thing that you can rest assured is that no one is you. There is no one else that's Rochelle Rinkins. If you know someone, let me know. And I think that regardless of what industry you're in, you're going to always bring your point of view, your spin to it. And so while you're definitely right, there's a lot of companies way bigger, well-funded than Liquid Courage, but I bring myself to my brand. I know that no one can execute like I can. And what I'm doing is I target the lifestyle of a woman that's on the go. And I think that a lot of companies, a lot of beauty companies are getting it wrong by not targeting lifestyle, not targeting, you know, that woman outside of the point of purchase, because we're more than just the lipstick that we wear. We do go to work every day. Right, so building my following was, again, staying true to that brand story. I work a lot with bloggers. I have a lot of friends that are in, they're either makeup artists, And so I reached out to them. I sent a lot of free product. That's why having a full-time job, again, helps fund these things. Even if you think about unicorn companies like Facebook, we don't pay Facebook nothing, right? So there's gonna be a lot of, you know, sweat equity in the very beginning. And so I would just encourage you to find out what's different about you, how you can put a different spin on it. The reason why I met Ayana is because I put on these events called Power Her Brunch. And it's an empowering conversation for women taking, you know, their personal brand to the next level. No beauty company is doing that right now. And so I feel like even if there's one point of difference, you have an audience. And your job now is to make sure that you're speaking to her.
And I'll also piggyback off that really quick. The way that we met to go even deeper is I found out about her brunch. And although it was 2 weeks out from the brunch, I pitched her to see if I could speak at her brunch, if I could be one of her panelists. It didn't work out because it was obviously too late and she had already secured everyone that she wanted. But it's just to say you have to go out there and you have to ask for what you want. You have to put yourself in front of people. You have to be a part of the conversation. Because if you don't and if you're not, no one can read what you're thinking that you want to do. Like, you could leave this event this evening and think, gosh, I really should have talked to that girl over there. She said that she was doing something similar to what I wanted to do. I was just scared. I'll talk to her next time. No, there may not be a next time. You may never see her ever again in life, okay? You have to take the moments that you're given and realize that you're probably given that moment and that opportunity for a reason, so do something with it. That's the way I look at it.
It's funny that you say that, because I was going to touch on that a little bit. Also, I want to thank my friend Rachel for bringing me here.
Yay, Rachel!
I'm a woman of many side hustles, and if I had like $1 million, I would do them all. But we don't, right? We're in this like passive where we have limited resources. So one of the questions that I have is like, I'm only going to speak to myself, for myself, but I don't think of myself as like a very secure person in all of my ideas. Like, what made you go cross that threshold and think, this is it? This is the thing I'm going to do, and I don't care if anyone says otherwise.
Whenever I come into situations like that, or I think that to myself, the thing that I always ask myself is, what would I regret if I didn't do it? And that honestly helps eliminate a lot of things. Like, even when I'm job searching, like, if I am debating between multiple companies, I will think to myself, like, which one would I regret, like, if I didn't take that one? And so I think that's something that you should ask yourself, too. Hopefully there's just one, but if there's, you know, multiple, then I would maybe take it the next step further and then ask myself, like, which one is the most unique and is, like, out of the box that no one else is doing and that will really, you know, differentiate me from everyone else out there. And so I think as you, you know, think about that, just keep challenging yourself with specific questions and see, like, what it gets narrowed down to.
Yeah, so to build on that in terms of taking all of your ideas and, like, which you're right, we have only 24 hours in a day. I don't know what Beyonce does. but us normal people, we only have 24 hours a day. Beyonce has, like, 50. But I think, so earlier I talked about how you can use your audience or your friends, Rachel, to basically see what idea is getting the most traction, right? Because that's your early consumer test. And not to say that you never work on those other ideas, right? And you just, you know, put that on the wall somewhere, and you parking lot that, as they say in corporate America. And then you focus on the thing that you feel has the high likelihood of success based on your data, right? I think that I mentioned this earlier, have your energy givers, your cheerleaders, and they have helped me. Believe it or not, a lot of people don't, you know, they're like, yeah, right, Rochelle, I am a tomboy. I did not wear my first lipstick until I was like 23 years old. And it's because my sorority sisters, they forced me to go to MAC. And they picked out my first lipstick. I mean, I was a Vaseline girl as long as it was shiny. That's all I cared about. And, you know, I didn't want ashy lips, but I just did not wear lipstick. And so a lot of people that knew me in college, like, what is Rochelle doing with this, you know, beauty company? Because they saw me as one person, and I'm definitely more dynamic than that, right? And everyone has a right to evolve and transform into something, you know, better. And so having those, that cheerleader and those energy givers in your life to say, no, you can do it. I believe in you. And by the way, I will support you. And if they can, you know, buy into your idea, why can't you?
I just want to say, it's not a question, it's a comment. Like, I'm so happy for my friend Pat to be bringing me here.
Yay, Kat!
And honestly, like, this had, like, this whole conversation is making me so motivated to do my side hustle. Like, my side hustle has been paused, and just because of work, you know, like, of course, everyone is like, I'm so busy with work. But I'm so happy that I came here so I can finally, like, transform my, like, motivation back to you.
Okay. That's awesome. Yay! You know, I want to offer this to you. There's this book called The Success Principles by Jack Canfield. If you haven't read it, you should read it. Extremely good book, especially if you're just trying to get your mind right about just making steps forward, taking action and things. And there's this thing that they call, I think it's the rule of five. And basically, he said, if you're not familiar with Jack Canfield, he is the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul. So that book sold millions, right? And what he said was, in the first few years that the book launched, what they did was they, him and his partner, his co-author, they adopted this rule of five, which they got from someone else. And the idea of it is to do five things every day that will push your project forward or push your side hustle forward. It could be anything from small things to large things, but the idea is to do it, to set it as a task, and to get it done. And what they did was they gave themselves different tasks every day. Some of it could be go and try and get the book in a supermarket. It could be send out press copies or review copies for people to read. It could be try to book myself or book ourselves at a church to speak about the book. It was like all these little things, just like marketing and tactics and things that if they said, oh, I'm so busy, they could easily put it off. But if they put it on their agenda to make sure that they do it, then they would get it done. And what happened was, he said, that is the reason that they went on to sell over a million copies within 2 years of sticking to that principle of the rule of five. And their goal was to sell a million copies, but they knew that if they really wanted to sell a million copies, they couldn't, take it from me, personal experience, you can't depend on your publisher to do almost anything, honestly. Not unless you're like a celebrity author. It's not going to happen. It doesn't work like that. You have to do everything. You have to be the entire machine behind it. And most times it's the same way in a side hustle as well. So it's like Rochelle was saying, you can also outsource some of the work, but that could be a part of your list of five things to do. Find somebody to build a website for me. Do some research, you know. It could be pay the person that I found that's going to do, because that's movement right there. If you don't pay them, the work's not going to get done. So you can simplify the process as simple as you need it to be for you, but it just will get you going. And as you look back, and let's say you keep everything in like a journal or notebook with all of your notes. When you look back over the last few weeks, and if you adapt that rule of five, you'll look up and you're like, actually, I made a lot of progress. So I think that's a good way to start. If you're just struggling with overwhelm for everything in your life, it's like start there if you don't start anywhere else just to get going.
My question to you guys is, like, how do you stay consistent? And I know there's pre-planning involved, but like,
maybe what do they do personally to motivate themselves
to stay consistent
maybe?
I mean, for me, it's all about just having that editorial calendar and holding yourself accountable. And so I will pre-plan, like, when I plan to blog things, when I plan to post things, and then when I go back and look at my calendar and I see that I didn't do something, I'm like, oh, crap, like, I didn't hold myself accountable. And so, you know, I think it's just holding yourself accountable. And, you know, I go through moments like you two where I don't have content to post and I don't have anything new to post. And what I'll do is I'll actually go through a lot of my old pictures, like from previous posts, and then find like a different angle, maybe find like a detailed shot that, you know, I haven't shown yet, and that, you know, it's actually from the same post, but, you know, people will probably not connect the two together unless they're like an avid follower of another day too. It's like they don't care, like they just want to see content and they want to see consistent things for you. So that's something that I do that I recommend you to do as well.
It definitely happens. I think that the first thing I would say is, for me, I ask myself, why am I doing this, Rochelle? What's my why? And it always goes back to, I just love supporting women, and this is the place that I get to do that. And the customer emails, the feedbacks, the reviews, people are counting on me. Like, people are following you because of inspiration, for tips. And when I think about me not being consistent, I am letting 200 people down, right? And so that's what kind of shakes me back up, because it takes me back to my North Star, which is my why. And then, I mean, sometimes you have to put things on the calendar. Yeah, I don't want to see my calendar. It's like reminders, Rochelle, get your butt up and, you know, make sure that you email such and such. Or you probably haven't exercised in a while. Make sure you go and exercise. Like, all of these different things that you can put in your calendar. So I would just recommend holding yourself accountable and having, you know, people in your corner that say, hey, I haven't seen a post in 2 weeks. What's going on? You know, because your tribe will hold you accountable. And you'll be very surprised. I love journaling, so like this is my second journaling tip. But take a week-long diary of how you're spending your time. It will surprise how much time you're doing nothing. Absolutely nothing, right? So whether it's standing in line at the grocery store, whether it's just a commercial while you know, fast forward the TiVo, whatever like that, just incorporate those things, those hacks in your life where a post takes literally seconds, right? And so you have seconds to basically move forward your passion.
I would also say, how bad do you want it? You need to keep asking yourself that. And another thing that you could do is make a list of like what you want. And then when you feel like, I don't feel like doing this, not today, I'm not really into it, you look at that list of what you want. Make a list of about 20 things that you want. You look at that list, and if you're not there yet, then you say, okay, I don't feel like it, but I better get it together. I have a lot of work to do. I have some things to do. I have some things to work on. And push yourself. And your ladies here that are in the wine club, tribe, text message group, keep her accountable.
Absolutely.
Check in on her. We know next week, okay? Next week this time, you say, hey, we know last week we were all at that event. You said you wanted to get started. What have you done lately? You know what I mean? Just check in her. Because it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Sometimes if we're the only person that's there to keep us accountable, we will slip. Because we'll tell ourselves, like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm so tired today. I think I feel a headache coming on.
Yeah.
You know, I can give myself this one day off, you know, and then the next day, I can give myself this one day. Well, next thing you look up, you didn't give yourself a week off. You know, so there's just this decision that you have to make, where you have to say to yourself, self, how bad do I want it? What am I willing to do to get it? And then you have to go for it.
And just to add to that, just from my own experience of how I evolved to even get into this position here, because I went to school for journalism. So the fact that I'm chucking ribbon is a whole long story. But sometimes what I've seen too with a lot of bloggers, don't be afraid to evolve into something else. Like, I see people start off as fashion bloggers, and the next thing you know, they're like some kind of fashion therapist or something. It doesn't necessarily have to be what you start
try to stay as authentic as possible, but sometimes it could be that you don't want to post, you know, the new sweater or the new shoes or the new hair or whatever. It could be that you are dressed amazingly so in the middle of the city at, you know, in the Presidio or wherever, and then your content is some kind of happy advice. And that turns into people reaching out to you and say, oh my God, I just feel happy and we're good at the same time. So I've seen people evolve from that, where they started off as this one block thing and then they just kind of evolved into something completely different. So just my two cents on not being afraid to evolve into something else from what you started from.
When you said that, it just made me think too, pay attention to what's going on around you. Pay attention to what's happening in the market in the area that you're working in, because a lot of people see the success or the perceived success that they think other people have online, and they think that's the way to go, or that's the exact way to do it. But be creative. Think outside the box. Think of ways that you can sort of flip things so that it would work in your favor. And then also, like you were saying, yes, be authentic, bring your own personality to it. Find ways to really own things and make it your own. And this is not just like online stuff. This is not just, you know, if you are trying to start a blog or anything like that. It's any business or any venture that you're going into. What ways can you take it and sort of like turn it upside down on its head? And I'll just tell you this from a lot of research that I've been doing for yet another thing that I'm working on. Experience is big. People want to experience things now. They don't want to just be sold to. They don't want people to just say, take this. You know, like, I could have passed all of you on the street and said, hi, my name is Ayana, and I have a podcast called Switch Pivot Quick. Want to take a listen? Here's the card. You would be like, okay, that's cute. And you keep moving, you know what I mean? But now that you've come here this evening, you've experienced this lovely evening with all of these inspiring women and uplifting energy and environment, this is going to make more of an impression on you. So now you'll be more likely to listen, or you'll be more likely to maybe tell a friend about it, whatever the case may be. It's just giving you an experience. So this is a real life example of what I'm talking about. Take the things that you're thinking of doing and think of how you can create an experience for people. Think of how you can actually touch people. You know, and when you were saying in the back that, you know, when you fell off with posting, about 200 people didn't, or they stopped following you, one of the things that I thought to myself was, okay, so if you hadn't posted, fine, but what if you had a mailing list? What if you had an email list? You had an email list, and then even though you didn't post, you had dropped in their inbox, would that have been a way for them to stay connected to you and still feel connected to you like you were still talking to them? Probably so. So for those who are thinking about doing anything, I'd say definitely build your email list, and don't build your email list of just a bunch of people to say you have an email list. Build a list of like-minded people, people that are actually interested in what you're talking about and what you're doing and who want to engage with you.
What resources would you guys recommend to meet women like yourselves, or, you know, just individuals that want to be in that industry? I know there's sites like meetup.com and so on, but do you guys have anything else you would recommend?
Be the change that you want to see in the world. Like I mentioned, and I will get to that question, but this is the Bay Area. It's not like the beauty capital of the world, right? And so when I felt that I didn't have, you know, the women to support me in that industry, I co-created a mastermind group for beauty folks that I met at different events. The second thing I would say, and the same thing for Power Bridge. I just met Olivia over there. Actually works with this company. It's called The Guild, where it's a great networking platform that allows you to connect with women like yourself. So that's something else that I would absolutely recommend. And Catherine actually showed me this hack. Go on Eventbrite and just search like women or beauty, or you'll be surprised the type of events that are going on. Like Watermark, as an example, has tons of events. They have a huge network of people. And so leveraging Eventbrite and all of those other types of like event type splash, et cetera, and doing a quick search, you'll be surprised by how many events are actually going on locally in your city.
I'm just gonna add on to that. Once you have your group, then you start sharing. So I find something, I send it out to the mastermind, Rochelle shares hers, and all of a sudden you've got 7 times the number of events than you would have found on your own. And it just, it literally is exponential. So, taking your directive about the opportunity to say something, I have a sports show on YouTube, and it's called The Game Last Night. So someone said, hey, did you watch The Game Last Night? But somebody had that name at first, and they were doing like a newsletter where they'd give like a wrap up of sports and events that happened, but some do, it fell off. So I took the name. But talking about evolution, I didn't go into starting A Game Last Night thinking I wanted a show. It's hosted on YouTube. I used to be in the background. I launched podcasts and networks. I've done videos for Union Bay, Girls Black History Month. We want to do something. So I produce and powder noses and pitch lines to people. And the guys that I was working with, I told them, I think I want to start a sports podcast. I'm into sports, but not like pink colored sports, right? Like, when it's October and the hats are pink and the shoes are pink, I'm like, no. It's not gonna make me want to watch sports. But I like to curse, I like to eat burgers and drink beer and also wear liquid courage on the lips at the same time. So I'm looking for women who like sports, who either maybe they know an athlete, maybe they know a coach, a former collegiate player, a professional player, maybe some user in the NBA. I've had some great success thus far, meeting some athletes that are locally based, but it's not one sport that I'm looking for. I've gotten the batting cages with a former World Series champion and MVP. I was pretty drunk at the time, but it's a fun experience. Right now, I'm still funding it, and I got a day job, so I've got to pay people to shoot and edit, and it's epic expensive to do video. But when you talked earlier, like, what is it worth to you? I don't want to go to sleep thinking that I should have done this. Mm-hmm. Or people have given me great feedback on the video. I want to stop now. So it's really just like coming to events like this. It's not just for women, obviously, but I know there are a ton of women like me who like watch Monday Night Football, or they're watching the Warriors passionately. So if you guys search on YouTube The Game Last Night, if you want to connect with me later, if you know an athlete, a coach, a referee, some of you talked about sports on the radio. I've also interviewed commentators and analysts for ESPN and stuff. There's so many different stories to tell. So I love your story. That's my pitch.
Awesome. I love it. See, that takes liquid courage right there.
Yeah.
It definitely does, because this is a room full of women that she doesn't know, but she feels passionate enough about what she's doing, and she wants it bad enough to speak up and say, I'm here. I would love for you all to support me, and if there's any way that we can connect and collaborate, I'd love that as well. That's what we have to start doing more, is speaking up about the things that we're passionate about or the things that we want to try. Like, why not try? You know what I mean? Why don't you go ahead and tell us about your podcast that you just started? Yes, you, hun. Don't look back. You know what I mean?
It's funny because I was just thinking that. I am starting a podcast for the South Asian community. Yeah, I looked at you, I'm starting a podcast for the South Asian community. I feel like a lot of South Asians are limited to their careers. I feel like a lot of Asian people can understand. It's like either a lawyer, right, doctor, engineer. Those are the three. If you're not part of the three, what are you doing with your life? Exactly. And I currently work at UCSF now, which is funny because like none of the stuff that is my side hustle is like anywhere near related to research. But what I want to do is I want to kind of explore people's like stories, you know, for people who are doing really creative ventures outside of these three careers. And if they are in these three careers and they're doing something creative out of that, I want to know how they got there. I want other younger generations to know that there's more than to what there actually is, what you're pitched.
because as a first generation immigrant, like, or first gen here, those are the three careers I had that gave me safety, like the safety net, right? Doctor, lawyer, engineer, if you didn't have those, well, you're probably gonna be on the street.
Yeah.
But there are tons of people in the South Asian community and in the Asian community who are doing some really cool things, and they're actually profiting from that. So I wanna know, like, what's your message? Why do you feel like you're doing what you're doing? And I wanna know how you got to where you are.
What's the name of the podcast?
It's called Shunker Coalition.
Shunker Coalition.
Yes,
got
it's
it.
In the very early stages. It's launching in July.
So. Okay, we're going to be looking out for it in July. Now, don't let us down.
Don't worry. I'm like, okay, great. Now
I have to do it. The pressure's on. And also, if anyone knows of anyone with a story that could be fitting,
yes,
that you think that she should talk to,
yes,
definitely go up to her, exchange information at the end, because I'm sure you'll be more than willing to entertain people's stories, as podcasts require a lot of content.
They do.
So especially depending on how often you want to produce them.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, I'm not trying to flood the market, but let me just say this. There's a lot of people using podcasts now as their medium to talk to people. So if you're sitting here thinking that you have this idea and you don't really know where to go with it and how it could work, creating a podcast could be a medium that you could use, especially if using audio content would work and it's not, and it doesn't require, your thing doesn't require visual, then it could be something that could work for you. So it's something to think about.
Well, since everyone is, you know, sharing their passion.
See, I love it.
I'm in this interesting situation where, I mean, like, my job is cool, don't get me wrong, it's cool, pays the bills. But I'm really passionate, and I always have been about music, and not just like, oh, I like, you know, listen to the latest Kendrick album, but I mean, like, so growing up, I played violin for 9 years, so I also listened to orchestra music, and I was in a musical, so I listened to Broadway music, and like, I work out, and sometimes I pretend I can do yoga, so, you know, like, I listen to like, other music and such like that, and it's something where I know for a fact, like, when people tell me what type of music they like, I've always already, like, well, listen to this, this, and this, and they're like, oh my god, it's so great, but I don't know what I want to do with that, and so my biggest loves are music and tech. I'm a software engineer. Being in Silicon Valley, you can't hide from people like me. So I've just been trying to figure out where and what I would like to do with that. And so trying to figure out how I can make a side hustle out of it. And I'm open to any ideas and stuff like that.
Music curator.
Yeah, make
plans. You said music curator? Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing. Or if you could get together with, because you mentioned fitness and stuff, like, there's these, a lot of great apps that are popping up too. If you could be like, I don't know how you would incorporate yourself, but if you could be like the go-to girl for the music for these apps, because I know one that I use, and I'm not getting paid to say this, but it's called 8Fit, and I use that one, yeah, I use that one regularly, and there's music selections on there as well, so I'm sure that they consulted with somebody. There's probably an entire team that marries music with, you know, the fitness element of things. So maybe something like that, or sit around one day and do a real deep dig, like, internet search and see what else is out there, because it might spark an idea. That's one thing that I like to do, is when I'm kind of stuck about ideas, I like to read different articles, I like to watch different videos, different things like that, so I can see what else is out there, and then maybe by listening to, reading, or seeing something, it'll spark something in me that's like, okay, that's, I should do this, you know? So, and I don't know that there's a perfect way to incorporate music in tech, but whatever is true to you and whatever you can really take ownership of, if you do it, that's the direction that you go in. Maybe you make a list of things that are important to you, you know, when it comes to music or when it comes to creating something. And maybe you make a list of what you would want someone to get out of an experience with you in music, and then that might spark some kind of idea, you know? And if anyone has any ideas, feel free to
I'm curious,
music and tech, what's the tech aspect, or do you not know yet?
So, like, I'm a huge nerd, so I'm always reading the news, so I'm always, like, seeing different headlines as far as Uber's CEO is in an absence of leave, or Verizon just finalized their deal on buying Yahoo, or, like, stuff like that. Like, I'm always really up to date with just, like, big tech news. I don't know. It's just something that's always interesting.
I have someone I want to introduce you to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You and me, when he's in the Bay, you guys will get along, and he is music and tech.
Oh, cool.
And he's a serial entrepreneur, multimillionaire. He's about to launch an app called Pink Gang, which is music and tech.
Okay. Yeah. Look at that. See,
something about themselves or that they like,
yeah.
And then you could build an algorithm that suggests music for them, since
mm-hmm.
people consult you around music, so
yeah.
That's just something really cool that you can take and build.
That's
great.
Did
you just think of that on the spot?
Yes.
Yeah.
Happy to try more. That's really cool. While I'm talking, I may as well talk about some things that I can just share with the group. I am one of those people that is all over the place, always hustling, always doing everything, like all the things. And I'm trying to monetize that creativity, that likability, just my access and knowledge. I would love to write. I'm an excellent writer. And humor is my jam in writing, but it always tends to get sucked up through some work channel, right? And not me being able to monetize it from my own personal brand. I would love to know how to get started there. And then also, I know that a podcast would be amazing, right? Because I'm like everybody's homegirl, for whatever reason. And I'm the person that'll tell it like it is, but still have you laughing about it. And so it's like really cool, and I like the concept of doing something around that. But again, it's like I travel a lot, and I need to be able to do all of this mobile. And so it's just like trying to take all these elements of me and generate income beyond my job. And so that's where I'm just sort of stuck on okay, how can I gather all of this up and, like, move forward?
Well, I'll say that incorporating the writing and the podcasting, putting those two things together is a great thing, because if I weren't sitting here in front of you guys right now and I was doing a podcast, I'd be on my computer reading it. But I read it as though, you know, I wasn't reading it. I would try and read it very conversation-like. But that is an element of it. I usually write out most of my stuff before, because I don't want to waste people's time. I wrote out my notes here for this evening because I don't want to get up here and fumble and, you know, talk on and on in a whole other direction and not know where I'm going with them. So that's a good way to start to incorporate the two. And also I'll say podcasting, the beauty of it is as long as you have your computer in a quiet space, you can make a podcast. I have a mic here that I use, but they're smaller, more compact mics that you can use, that you can buy. And if you're in a hotel room or something like that, that's usually perfect because it's enclosed space, it's quiet, you know, usually it's not going to be a lot of noise and things like that. Just do it. Just start. Just try and see how it works for you, because it's a very mobile thing. And I had someone reach out to me, a young lady who has been doing a podcast, but she had been hiring someone to edit her podcast, like a producer. And so she asked me, I guess she knows I'm the do everything yourself girl. So she's like, do you know how to edit your own podcast? Can you tell me how to do it? Because my engineer is not available right now and I need to do it. And I'm like, sure, use this program, do da da. Like right now, I am recording us, please. I'm recording us using QuickTime. That's what I find works very well for me to record. When I record just myself, I use QuickTime. When I record other people, like a interview via phone, I use freeconferencecall.com until I find a better way. It's pretty reliable, doesn't cut off. I was on someone else's podcast and the connection was lost. So I thought about using other, you know, avenues, but I'm like, stick with what you know that works good. And then when I edit, I just use GarageBand, which comes on the Mac system and everything. And some people use a fancier editor and everything, but it's not required. Sometimes you have to just take the blockages out of the way and use what you have to go ahead and get started. So I'd say if you have some of the tools, at least to get started, do it. Yes, so it's perfect. And for me, like, I didn't even get a mic until I was about 5 podcasts in, and I just didn't like the way it sounded. So I went to Best Buy and I got a mic. But, you know, you can start where you are and use your headphones as a mic initially if you need to until you start to get the groove or until you figure out if it's really what you want to do. That's the other thing. Use some of the tools that you have right now to get started. You don't have to spend all this money investing in things that you might not use, that might not work in the long run, especially things that you can't return, you know? So I would use that too. Do you ladies have anything you want to add to that?
What you talked about, you see how it was just flowing off of, like, everybody knows about how to use GarageBand. I mean, a lot of this you picked up by doing the work, but it's not really common knowledge. But I want just to leave you with something. Be creative and think about how you can monetize things. Like what you just talked about, you can go behind the camera and talk about how to edit your podcast, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, upload it on lynda.com or all of the things. I met someone that's like a competitor. What's the name of the?
Creative Live.
I'm like, I met someone that competes with Udemy or Lynda, you know, and you can get paid multiple times off of that. Mm-hmm. Or this young lady that talked about, you know, I saw someone put together the best 100 books on leadership. Mm. And she's selling it. And people are buying it because they don't want to, they value their time. And so they don't want to go and do the research on their own. And so you'll be really surprised by what you can monetize. And don't take your experiences like, you know, just everybody knows how to use GarageBand. And, you know, think about the skills that you have and how you can monetize that, again, to fund your podcast or your music simulator. Something that's very genius and brilliant.
Well, ladies, if there's no more questions, thank you all for coming out and joining us for the live Switch Pivot or Quit chat. And I really appreciate you spending your time with me, with us. Thank you so much to our special guests. And thank you to our host this evening, Spotify. Appreciate you all. Thank you so much.